Today is the final day of our All-In Summit and Leadership Summit. Thank you for coming. Thank you for giving up of your own time, especially on a Saturday morning. But it's raining, so where else would you rather be? Except the football game starting about 15 minutes. But that's why God gave us DVRs, right? I am going to start with what we are all about here at New Hope Christian Center. And our mission here is to make disciples. That is what God or Jesus commissioned and commanded the disciples to do, to continue on with his teaching and with his model of how he lived his life and his belief system. And we continue that on here today at New Hope Christian Center. And for those of you who are listening to the podcast, I want you to do everything that I have everyone here do as well. So we are called to make disciples, and we have a motto here at New Hope Christian Center, and it goes like this. In the essentials, there must be unity. When I refer to essentials, I mean salvation issues. There are certain things, and we're going to go over this list of 10 that we have here at New Hope Christian Center. I'm going to go over them. But one of the things that I wanted to do before we started was 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. We are told through the scriptures that we are to be ready to give a reason for what we believe. Here at New Hope Christian Center, and when I was in the youth and teaching the youth and leading the youth, one of the things that I always told them was, by the time that you left, I wanted you to know what you believe and why you believe it. Because oftentimes, as kids grow up, they kind of just ride along on the coattails of their parents' faith or their pastor's faith or whatever, and then they get out into the real world, and they really don't know what they believe. And then when someone challenges them about what they believe, they don't know why they believe it. Well, that's just what my dad taught me. Here at New Hope Christian Center, we want you to know what you believe, and we want you to know how to back it up, why you believe it. And sometimes we think we know, but when we try to articulate and give a reason, it comes out like we're just stumbling along. We need to be able to back up what we believe and why we believe it. So as I go into these essentials, there are 10 of them. I'm not just going to list them. What I'm going to have you do, does everyone have a booklet in front of you and a pen? Guess what? It's pop quiz time. Anybody not have one? Okay. Donzie, do you have a couple extra? Raise your hand if you need a booklet or a pen. Perfect. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to list the essentials, and then I want you to write down on your piece of paper why it is an essential. Why is it a salvation issue? These things are the things that are not debatable. Okay, and there are certain things here that pertain to what other people believe. You're going to hear other people challenge these things. So you need to know in your own mind how to defend your faith. So number one, the first essential, there is only one true God. Why is that an essential? There are a lot of people out there that believe, you know what, there's a lot of gods. You believe what you want to believe. You can believe in that God, whatever. How do you back that up? Why is that an essential? And do you have a scripture that comes to mind that you can back it up with? There is only one true God. Number two, the triunity of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, three different persons, one God, and the deity of Christ. Why is that an essential issue? Why is that a salvation issue? The third one is human depravity. Human depravity. Why is that an essential issue? I know I'm flying through these, but I know you guys are already done and ready for the next one. Number four, Christ's humanity. Why is it an essential issue that we believe that Jesus was not only God, but that he was man as well? Why is that important? Why is that a salvation issue? Because there are a lot of churches out there that are teaching that Jesus was a man and that he actually sinned. There's a lot of bad doctrine out there. So why is this an essential issue? Number five is the sinlessness of Christ. Number six, the resurrection of Jesus. Why is that an essential issue? Why is it important that he was resurrected? A lot of teaching out there saying that they just never found his body, or that the apostles stole his body and hid it so that they could follow through with their agenda and their false teaching. So why is his resurrection an essential issue? Number seven, not all roads lead to heaven. Not all roads lead to heaven. Number eight, salvation by grace through faith. Number nine, eternal judgment. Why is that an essential? Eternal judgment. And number 10, the infallibility of Scripture. So you guys ready to go through them? See how you did? See if you know what you believe and why you believe it? And how do you back it up? Do you have, are you prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have? And are you able to articulate it? So number one, that there is only one true God. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some scriptures that back this up. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." There is only one God. Why is this an essential? In Exodus 20, verse 3, God commands that you shall have no other gods before me. No other gods before me. It is a commandment. It is essential that you believe in only one true God. Number two, the triunity of God and the deity of Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness.'" The name is Elohim, and it means plural God. Singular yet plural. And in the very first book of the Bible, God introduces himself as Elohim. We are plural. We are one, but we are plural. And in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. In the beginning the Word was with God, and it was God." It's a capital W. It is talking about Jesus. They were together in the beginning. They were not created. Jesus is the agent of creation. In Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. John 15, 26, this is Jesus talking. When the Advocate comes, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. When we become believers, we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. He becomes a part of us and lives in us. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why is this an essential? Because if Jesus was just a man, then he would not be able to atone for our sins. When we sin, and actually we'll go through this in the next one, so we'll get into that first. The third one, human depravity. Everyone has sinned. When we sin, we are separated from God. Isaiah 59, 2, it says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. In 1 Corinthians 15, 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. We have the seed of Adam in us. And that seed leads to death. When you sinned for the very first time, you were guilty of sin, and the payment is your life with your own blood. You are convicted to die. And that is the seed that we received from Adam. In Christ, we have life. Does it make sense? Romans 23, why is this an essential? It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. A lot of people says, I don't need to be saved. Well, according to the scriptures, you do. Because you're guilty. Ask someone, have you ever lied? Have you ever cheated? Have you ever had an impure thought? Have you ever done this? Have you ever done that? Well, then you are guilty. And a payment is required whether you believe it or not. Whether you believe it or not, a payment is required for your sins. All right, number four, Christ's humanity. Why is it essential that Jesus was also man as well as God? In Leviticus 17, 11, it says, for the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. If Jesus were just a spirit, as some of the agnostics believed, spirits do not have blood. Blood was required for the payment of sins. Back in Leviticus, and when Jesus says, I come and I bring a new covenant, and it's through my blood that I will atone for my people. Why is this essential? Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. He had to be flesh. He had to have blood and bones in order to be received as a perfect sacrifice. If he was just a spirit, there's no life blood shed. There's no payment for those sins. So he had to be man. Number five, the sinlessness of Christ. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. If Jesus had sin, why is this an essential issue? Because if Jesus had sin, then he is no better than all of the lambs and the oxen and the bulls and the pigeons and the doves that offered their blood time and time again. Because those only covered sin. But because Jesus was without sin, he was able to remove sins. Why? Because he is the perfect sacrifice. If Jesus had sinned, then his sacrifice would have only been good enough to cover our sins. And like the lambs in the Levitical law, he would need to be sacrificed every year, over and over and over again. So his sinlessness is an essential issue. Number 6, the resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, and it says, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." If he was not resurrected, then he is no different than any of those other animals that were sacrificed. They were sacrificed, their blood was spilled out, and their body was cast aside, or it was burned as an offering. If he was not raised from the dead, then he is just like the rest of those sacrifices. Why is this essential? It says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. If he is not able to make that payment, then you are required to still make that payment. And he was raised from the dead, so he can make that payment. Amen? Number 7, not all roads lead to heaven. John 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Bible talks about narrow is the road. It is very narrow. We have a lot of people that say, you know what? We're just, you know, we believe in the same God as all the different religions. We're all going to follow and we're all going to, you know, come together in the end and in end up in the same place. Well, according to Jesus, he says, "I am the way." Well, that's kind of narrow-minded, is it not? That is not progressive thought at all. You're the only way. That's what he said. And then he backed it up with his death and his resurrection. I am the way. Why is this an essential? Because according to the scriptures, there is no other way. There is no other way. And we live in a society that says there's plenty of ways. But according to the scriptures, he is it. Number 8, we are saved. We have salvation by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, chapter 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Why is this an essential issue? We cannot earn our salvation. You cannot make a payment on the debt that you owe. You can't earn it. Why is this an essential? Because a lot of religions out there teach that there, after you die, there's a holding tank. And actually, we're going to get to that one next. But we can't earn it. Most other religions are based upon works. You earn your way. You earn your keep. You make good by doing. Here it says, you are only saved by God's grace first, and accepting that gift. That's it. Everything you do after that is because of his grace and his mercy and what he did on the cross. You cannot earn your salvation. All right, number 9, eternal judgment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "Just as people are destined to die once, and after that, face judgment." Why is this an essential? Because you're going to run into people that believe that there is a holding tank after we die. That you can go into this place and then you can earn your way out. Or people that are still alive can pray for you and earn your way out. or that you can buy your way out. Catholicism, back in the medieval times, it was based upon alms, and you could buy your way to heaven. If they needed to build a new baptistry or a new cathedral, they would go around to the rich people and say, you know what, if you give so much money towards this, you're guaranteed to go to heaven. And there are other people that I've heard that say, well, you know what, I don't really want to make that decision for Christ now. When I die and I go into that little holding tank, I'm willing to work it off. There is no holding tank. And that's why this is an essential, because if you go thinking into your death, thinking that you're going to have another shot, you are sorely mistaken. It says we face death and then judgment. That's it. So that's why that is an essential. And number 10, the infallibility of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that says, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We are to grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that in the Bible. And all of the Scripture is God-breathed. And it is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training so that we may live lives according to Jesus Christ and the model that he laid before. Paul says, you know what? Follow me as I follow Christ. We are to be followers of Jesus Christ, and the Scriptures lay out how to do that. Matthew 22, verse 31, but about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? Not have you not heard, but have you not read? He's referencing the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures. Why is this an essential? In 1 Timothy 4:16, it says, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. That's why I had you do this little exercise. Because if you don't know what the Scriptures say, how do you apply them to your lives? How do you grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ if you don't know what God's Word says about who Jesus Christ is? So how did everybody do? Great job. Got all 10. You're able to go ahead and back up and give an answer and be prepared for the hope that you have. I'm hoping that each and every day you are doing that. Here at New Hope Christian Center, we are about making disciples. We're not about putting butts in the seats. We're not focused on having the most programs. We're not focused on all these different things. What we are focused on is individual growth in each and every person. And what we do here is by the process of making disciples is connecting you to God, number one, first and foremost. We want to introduce you and have you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. That is our main focus. The second focus is connecting you to other people. We are to do this stuff as a family. We are to do this as brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas in Christ. That's why I love, if you take a snapshot of a Sunday morning, you're going to see ages 1 to 95. Most churches don't have that. Most churches have a demographic or a population that they are trying to reach. And you're missing out on all of the other generations and what they can bring. I learn from the little shavers. I love the little shavers. But there are churches out there that are just full of little shavers. There are churches out there that focus, well, we're trying to hit this 20 to 30 demographic.
So we're going to be just the coolest and the hippest and this and that. And Paul says, you know what? I see you have, there's a lot of spiritual brothers, but you have very few spiritual fathers. See, if you're running a church that just has the 20s to 30s, that's called a frat house. Am I right? Where's the wisdom of the older people? Where is the fathers and the grandfathers coming alongside the young men and correcting them and raising them up? Jesus did not say, go and make disciples and only focus on the 25 to 30-year-olds. No, he did not. He said, go and make disciples, period. So I love the fact that we have all age groups because they're important. The final thing that we do here is we release for service. We train you up so that you can be released to do what God has called you to do. We don't train you up and then say, okay, you know what? We have a need over here, so you're going to fill this need. Well, I don't like little kids. No, it doesn't matter. We have a hole. You're going to fill it. No, we train you up. We introduce you to Jesus Christ. We help you to grow each and every day in your walk with him. We find out what God has put inside of you. And then when you're ready, then we say, okay, what has God placed in you? What do you want to do? And out of that, we have new ministries developing. And it's awesome. It is awesome. You guys, there are some people here who have stepped out. My message a few weeks ago on Challenge Accepted, I've had quite a few people come up and say, you know what? I don't feel comfortable, but I feel God saying this, and I'm going to step out. That's awesome. That is awesome. That is what we talked about last night in being consecrated, setting apart. You're beginning to move into the plans that God has for you. And there's nothing more fulfilling than being used by God, doing what he's called you to do. There's no better feeling. And so that's what we are about here. We do it by the four pillars of the early church, which comes from Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Some of this is repetition for you, but you know what? Paul says, you know what? I think it's good that I remind you of these things. I think it's good that we backtrack and go and look back at the foundations of what we were about. And so that's what we do on this day, so that you kind of know what we're about. Some of you are going to be in ministries where you're going to have people coming in from the outside and they're going to go, so what are you guys about here? Because people that don't go to church, people that don't know Jesus Christ, I would say a vast majority of them are very skeptical about what goes on inside a church. Because all that you get from the media is the negative. All you hear about is the pastor that cheated on his wife, or the young youth pastor who is assaulting and sexually abusing young girls. So that's all they get. So when they come in, they may have questions. What are you guys about? What do you believe? You need to be able to give that answer about what we are about here. And when you say, well, what we're about is making disciples. Well, what do you mean? Well, you know what? We connect people to God. We connect them to other people. And then we release them for service. Well, what do you believe as far? Well, in the essentials, there are certain things that we have to agree on. And the second part of that is, in the non-essentials, there must be liberty. There must be liberty. If it is not an essential issue, you can agree to disagree and you still need to love one another. Non-essential issues are, do you smoke cigarettes? There are certain people that if they see someone from a church smoking cigarettes, they will go somewhere else. Well, real Christians don't smoke cigarettes. I beg to differ. Show me in the scriptures where that's an essential issue. Thou shalt not smoke cigarettes or thou shalt die. It's not in there. Drinking alcohol. No, those things aren't good for you, but they're non-essential issues. And you can agree to disagree, but you still need to love one another. The essentials we need to agree on. All right, so we base what we do here on the four pillars of the early church. The first one is devotion to the apostles' teaching. We are devoted to giving you the word of God. We are devoted to giving you the meat of the scriptures. We are also devoted to giving you the spiritual milk. I've never had anybody leave that have come to me and said, you know what, I'm just not feeling fed. Well, that's your fault. Because we're going to feed you here. And we give plenty of opportunities to get the word of God. The second one is the devoted to the fellowship. We're going to go through the three different levels of leadership here in a bit. We want people who are devoted. I've had a lot of people come to me and say, you know what, I want to teach a life group. And they've only been here for 2 weeks. No, first of all, you need to prove that you're devoted to this fellowship. You need to prove that you're devoted to these people. And what happens is most of them run to the next place where a pastor will let them teach. And usually there's trouble a-coming. We eliminate that here at New Hope Christian Center. I've been accused of running people off. I don't believe I personally ran them off. You can believe whatever you want, but there were some issues, and I addressed those issues, and they didn't like it. And so, gone. But you know what? I know what God has showed me as the pastor on how we should do things here at New Hope Christian Center, and we will continue to do them. You need to be devoted to this fellowship. You need to be devoted to one another. The third one, devoted to the breaking of bread. We do communion, and we also encourage people to get together outside the walls of this church. We're to live lives together. I have two daughters. Physically, biologically, I have two daughters. But I have a lot more daughters spiritually. I don't have any sons physically, but I have sons spiritually. I consider Dave and Rachel's kids my kids. And that's the way it should be. I consider Gavin a boy that I never had. And that's the way it should be. Amen? I'm going to stop talking right now about that. All right, number four, devoted to prayer. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be lifting up one another, encouraging one another. If you're praying or you're just driving along and someone pops into your head, count on the fact that that's God saying that you need to contact this person, whether it's just a text or whatever. But be in prayer. If you can't do that right away, then go, you know what, God? This person just popped into my head. I don't know what's going on, but you do. So I pray that you would intervene in that situation. I had a young lady who was going through some horrible things, and I didn't know it. It had to do with her her husband in their relationship. And I was praying one morning, and I didn't even hardly even think about this girl. Love her to death. Don't see her much. And all of a sudden, she's popped into my head. And I went, oh, that's weird. So then I just sent her a text. Don't know what's going on. Was in my prayer time. You popped into my head. Just want you to know I'm praying for you. Found out 3 weeks later when I saw her that morning her husband walked out. Just decided he was done with the marriage that very morning. And then she got a text from me. And it was confirmation to her that God knew what was going on and that she wasn't alone, that she had a guy that was praying for her and that she didn't even make the connection. She didn't even initiate the contact. Just send it off. God does that. He'll use us to encourage one another if we'll just listen and then be obedient to those promptings. Amen? Here at New Hope, when it comes to ministry, we are about discipleship and growth, not filling a hole. We want to train up. We want disciples and mentors. And we are to train up. If I am not here, I know that Pastor Lee is here to help. We train people up and bring them along so that they can do what we do. It's not our ministry. It belongs to Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. We are simply the servants. When we begin to think that, oh, that's mine, oh, that's mine, then you're stepping on the toes of the Holy Spirit. And you're headed for a downfall. We train up. We make sure that we're going according to the four pillars. And we move forward with Christ as the head. Amen? We have coordinators. And coordinators are those who are in charge of certain areas of ministry and have charge over the leaders and the helpers in that ministry. We have leaders, or those who serve under a coordinator, and may at times teach lessons, speak, or share without the coordinator present. And then we have helpers, those who assist leaders and with various duties, but are not to be left alone with children, youth, etc. The helpers are not to be leading classes or teaching without the leader present. And the reason that we have that in place is because in order to be a helper, you have to have been here for 6 months. We want to know you. We want to see your face. We want people who show that they're devoted to this fellowship. If they can't stick around for 6 months to become a helper in something, we don't want them. Well, I'll just take my gift somewhere else. Okay, well, that's great. But you know what? The second pillar of this church is being devoted to this fellowship. So if you're flying in and flying out and then you're doing all these other things and your heart is not here with the people at New Hope and you're not devoted to this fellowship, then you are not going to be a helper, you're not going to be a leader, and you're not going to be a coordinator. We want people who are invested. We want people who are invested and have a heart. Amen? Coordinators. You need to have been attending New Hope for at least 1 year. And the reason for the 1 year measurement is because you have to be here for 6 months to be a helper, and then you have to be here for another 6 months to become a leader. So then you can become a coordinator. So have to be here at least a year. Have served as a leader for at least 6 months. And then Sunday service. So actually, it's a year and a half, not a year. You guys didn't correct my math. See, that was another test. Fail. Sunday service attendance for coordinators. I want you to be here at least 3 times a month. People need to know your face. I don't want people that just show up when they serve. Well, it's my time to serve in the kids' church, so I'm just going to show up, and then I don't show up for another three weeks. That's not what we're about. I am about your personal growth first and foremost. And if you can't commit to coming to 3 times a week, a month, you passed. Donzie passed. If you can't commit to that, then you really can't commit to being a coordinator. We need people who are all in with their heart. Amen? I want you to have regular attendance in either the Sunday morning workout or a life group. Because it's not about just being a coordinator and being in charge. We also want you to get connected in other ways outside of your service ministry. We want you to connect with other people in life groups. We want you to be there or on Sunday mornings. And some of you may go, you know what? I don't want to give up another night to go to a life group. Well, then get up a little bit earlier on Sunday morning and come in at 9 o'clock for our Sunday morning workout. See, in order to serve, it's going to cost you something. In order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you something. And usually, it's our time. Because we are so busy. But you need to decide, okay, what are my priorities? I may have to give a little something up. But I'll tell you what, it's so fulfilling. There are certain times when we talked about this in our life group training. There are certain times when on a Tuesday night, I just don't want to go. I'm just like, oh, I would just love to stay home. Love to stay home. And you know what? As a leader, I don't have that option. Everyone else in my group does. Well, I just didn't feel like going, so I didn't go. Okay, well, there you go. But as a leader and as a coordinator, you don't have that option. Yeah, I just don't feel like it. Well, that's not much of a leader. But I'll tell you what, every time that I go, and sometimes I'm just completely empty. And it's like, God, I'm showing up. And that's about all I got. I walk out of there going, thank you, Lord. Because when we are faithful with just that small little step, he is faithful to bless it. You know, we talked last night about deny yourself. That's what it's going to take to be a coordinator, a helper, or a leader here at New Hope Christian Center. There are going to be times when you are going to have to deny yourself. And the next part of that is pick up your cross. Picking up your cross can mean just getting your butt out of the house, getting in the car, complaining all the way here, walking in, and God goes, you know what? I appreciate that. I appreciate that. It will cost you something. Some of you are stepping out for the very first time. There's going to be times when you're tired. There's going to be times when you just don't want to do it. There's going to be times when you have people in your group that drive you crazy. There are going to be times when the kids have had too much sugar and the parents just drop them off and they're little monsters crawling all over the walls. And that's when you need to step aside and go, okay, God, I need your help. But when you're willing, he's not looking for those people who are able. He's looking for those people who are willing. And then he makes you able. He gives you everything you need. And we need to remember that we are being used by God. We are being consecrated. We are being set apart to do things that we have no idea that he's doing in the lives of other people. Have no idea what kind of an impact you can make on a young man's life. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. You have no idea. And you know what? You may be the only person that week that shows the light of Christ to that young person. They may all they may need is a hug. You have no idea as a life group person or leader on who's coming and who needs something. But if you go in saying, okay, God, I don't know what you have in store, but I'm here. I'm willing to be used by you. And it is incredible when you see it unfold. And it will. But it's going to cost you something. And for most of us, it's our time. But it is so worth it because we're investing in the kingdom of God. I have some other things here. The leaders, the requirements, the helpers' requirements. But you know what? It's up to you. We thank you. I thank you because we can't do it without you. And it is so much easier to have people that are stepping up as coordinators, as teachers, as leaders, and as helpers that truly have a heart doing what God has called them to do. And you know what? You may have signed up to help in some area, and you really don't know how that's going to work out. You're not quite sure what God's calling you to do, but at least you're stepping out. You can come to me 3 weeks in and go, you know what? This is not for me. And that's okay. That is totally okay. We can get you somewhere else. And then, you know, if you've been serving for years and years and you need to take a break, Jesus took breaks. That's okay too. If you're getting to the point where each and every time you go and serve, it's nothing but drudgery or whatever, maybe you need to step back. That may be God calling you back to focus on your relationship with Him. Because we can get so busy doing good things, and they're not necessarily God's best for us. We need to make sure that we keep that connection with God at the forefront of our lives. Service comes after that. The first and most important thing is your relationship with Him. And we're here to do it together. We're here to lift one another up. We had someone who could not make it. Colette had some issues with her father. And so I told her to go and be with him this morning. So what did we do? We had some of our young girls step up and go in. That's what it's about. That is what it's about. Coming together, loving one another, encouraging one another, lifting each other up, and growing individually in Christ. So thanks. I am done. I am so done. Because if I keep going, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly. So actually, there are some paperwork up here. If you are going to be working with kids, I need you to sign this child protection policy. These are things that are mandatory from our insurance company. And every time that you sign, I think they all say signature and print your name, because I've seen some of your signatures. We can look at Brenda. We give them to Brenda, and she's like, I have no idea who that is. And then we all pass it around, and it looks like Egyptian hieroglyphics. And it's like, I think it says Tutankhamun. But print and sign your name if you're going to work with children protection. This is a form. It is a background check form. The Washington State Patrol is allowing us to do these for free now. Our insurance company used to have us just have these on back order or aside, set aside. And if we ran into any problems, we could pull them up. You were giving us consent to do so. Now we are pulling them up. Our insurance company is making us pull these up. And the only thing that's going to show up on this is child care or domestic violence issues. Any felony. Traffic stuff is not. You're safe with the traffic things. Belinda's like, woohoo! And the only person that is going to see these is Belinda. She is the only one that will be receiving these. So... yeah, to be, yes, exactly. So everyone needs to have one of those signed off. And then this is the devoted to the fellowship sign off. In order to serve as a coordinator, as a leader, or as a helper, we need to have one of these on file. So you need to sign off, and it also has the essentials. We need you to sign off on those. If you have an issue with one of the essentials and you don't feel comfortable signing this, I want you to come and see me so that we can hash it over, and I'll show you in the scriptures where you're wrong. Yes. I will get those to the coordinators and the leaders so that you guys know. The question was, is there a list of the requirements that we have so that the leaders know what to require of their helpers? I will get those to the coordinators and the leaders so that you kind of know what that. Any other questions? Donzie, I'm done. Thank you.